are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here. Nick Winkler joining me. I think I hear him on the line there somewhere. We'll be doing the Week Heat Wednesday thing today, but first I got to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find this show and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, and tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. If you have a smart speaker, just say, play podcast, Locked On 49ers. Super easy. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can find Nick at Bay Area Wink. Email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And that Twitter is where most of these mailbag questions are coming from. And we are going to dip right back into the mailbag again today. I had a ton yesterday, didn't get to close to all of them. So we'll see how many Nick and I can get to with our long-winded selves today. So with that, let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
How are you, sir?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Yeah, just working, hanging out with little Leo. It's his 7th month birthday today.
Oh, isn't that exciting? They get bigger and bigger. Is he rolling over yet?
Yeah, he's flipping over like crazy.
Yeah, watch out. Once they start doing that, next thing up, they're going to be crawling. They're going to be crawling backwards. Oh, yeah,
man. Oh, backwards crawl?
No, it's so funny. My daughter, she would only backwards crawl for like 2 months. We're like, is something wrong with her, dog? All she does is go backwards. I was like, it's fine. It's totally fine. And my son never went backwards once. So I don't know. We'll see.
That's strange. Okay.
You'll have to keep us posted.
Yeah. I will let you know how the backwards and forwards crawling goes.
Please do.
Let's see here. So we've got a lot of mailbag questions to get to, obviously, but there's some 49ers news. Some coaching hires are happening around the league. So that defensive line coach job that the 49ers had open for a while was quickly filled. The 49ers announced today that they hired Chris Kucerich as defensive line coach. So he'll take over for Jeff Sanina, who was around for a couple years, got fired. And this is from Chris Biederman, a little connection here of why maybe Kucerich was the guy for the 49ers. He was the defensive line coach for the Lions from 2010 to 2017. And so Martin Mayhew was the GM for the Lions around that time. He coached free agent Ezekiel Ansah, defensive end there, too. So there's some connections there, and he spent the last couple of years with the Dolphins as D-line coach. So D-line coach taken care of, and on the defensive side of the ball, I think the 49ers are still looking for a DB coach, but instead they've added a brand-new position to the team. Mike Garofalo reporting that the 49ers are hiring Joe Woods, longtime defensive backs coach, most recently the Broncos defensive coordinator. He'll be the passing game coordinator for both the offensive and defensive side of the ball.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. Like, it just, let's just create a position for you. All right, you're going to actually be on both sides of the ball. Just focus on the passing game. That's it. That's all we care about.
So it sounds like they're going to do things like they did before and probably still bring in a defensive backs coach, but now they have just like an overhanging coach that's going to focus on the passing game on defense, and I like that.
Yeah, I dig that a lot. I mean, that was, you know, a big problem. We had Richard Sherman's side was on lock, and, you know, the other side was kind of wide open all season long. Maybe he could take care of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the idea. And I always find it interesting when, because, you know, these coaches know football so well, and I like that coaches are able to go on both sides of the ball too and have input. And I think that can really help some cohesiveness on both sides of the ball. It's like, okay, this is what the league is doing. And if you're only in the defensive mindset, you know, it's interesting. So I like that he's kind of got his hands in both sides of the ball there.
Yeah. It's old school. It's like your boy Leo, you know, you're going both ways on the football field.
Yeah. Forwards and backwards. Hopefully, Joe Woods will be crawling backwards in the meeting rooms.
That would be a little weird.
That would be kind of strange.
It'd be like Adam Gase with those eyeballs. It's just like, what's going on here, man?
The Adam Gase, the Gase stuff. I cannot get enough of seeing that video of him with, like, I don't know what's going on.
I think I watched the taco video about 25 times.
Oh, my goodness. If anybody has not seen it, go to your nearest computer or on your phone and look up Adam Gase taco.
Oh, man.
And that definitely tops the Jim Tomsula press conference, the head coach introduction press conference. Oh, this one is like 10 times worse than the Tom Sula was just kind of sweaty, right?
You think that's what it was?
He's just sweaty and kind of nervous.
I think maybe he took a shot or two of espresso right before he got out there, you know? Well, just like, here we go.
Better than a line or two of cocaine, which might have been happening with Adam Gase.
Right. It was something because those eyes were not normal.
DeForest Buckner added to the Pro Bowl.
About
which
time,
is, he should have been there anyways, but you kind of knew that he'd have a shot at that. You know, 12 sacks, such a great season. He definitely deserves it. So congrats to DeForest Buckner, who is now officially a Pro Bowler, not just an alternate. And I just saw some news recently, right before we jumped on, is that Cam Newton might have another shoulder surgery. And if he does, it'll be an Andrew Luck situation where he'll probably miss the entire season.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
That just changes everything there in Carolina, doesn't it? It puts them in the running, too, to get a young quarterback because you don't even know if he's going to come back after something like that.
You got to at least have a stopgap. And, of course, this is how the sick minds work of everybody who's a 49ers fan. The very first response to that was Nick Mullins? Trading Nick Mullins? What do you think? So, no.
I mean, Nick Foles is going to be a free agent after his $2 million buyout. You know Flacco's going to be out there. So there's a lot of options.
Those are the big ones. And so we'll see how – so by most people's accounts, there's two first-round caliber quarterbacks. There's a couple of free agent quarterbacks that you could see teams saying, okay, well, at least for a short amount of time, this could be a starting quarterback for us and might still draft one of those first-round quarterbacks after signing someone like Foles or Flacco. So it'll be interesting how teams jockey for position with these quarterbacks. And if maybe some teams think, well, we can't draft this guy. He's going to go too high. Let's just get one of these veterans. That's going to be the coaching carousel is happening, but the quarterback carousel is always interesting and fun. And it feels good, I think, for 49ers fans to know that even though we haven't seen it that much on the field yet, you feel good about your quarterback situation. And when the teams that don't have it, it's just like, oh my gosh, it's such a bad situation to be in the NFL.
We were there very recently, and we're there again this year after our quarterback went down.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
We know that feeling oh too well.
So let's just get into this mailbag. What do you say?
Let's roll.
I want to start with a question about pizza. It's a question we've gotten before, I think, but I think it deserves revisiting. And I think you and I are similar on this one. Rod asks, does pineapple belong on pizza? For me, it's a hell no.
Wow. I mean,
Rod was saying that. That wasn't me saying that. Rod was saying for him, it's a hell no.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to tell somebody what to put on their pizza. You know, if you want to put anchovies on your pizza, go ahead. I mean, to me, that's nasty.
But I mean, you know, we can't ever hang out or be friends, but you can go do that on your own.
Right. Right. Don't bring that anywhere near me. Don't even tell me that you hate it, because now you may have ruined pizza for me forever. But no, I mean, you put whatever you want on pizza. For me, pepperoni and pineapple, it doesn't get any better than that.
There's not very many things that I won't do on pizza. I mean, I'll do a broccoli on pizza.
Yeah.
Jalapenos, I love it. And like kale. Yeah. Give me whatever you can put on a pizza, except for anchovies. I'm into clam. I like white clam pizza. That's good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a little bacon on there. No, I'm all about that.
Oh, even just a mushroom ruins a pizza for me. Oh, clams? Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, I love mushrooms on pizza. I like black olives on pizza, too.
We're never going out to pizza together.
So I'm good with pineapple. I'm good with a lot of things. Like, depending on the combination, it might get kind of gross, but most things I'm into on pizza. You know what happened to me recently is I got a pizza, and it didn't have sauce on it.
What is that?
It was just – I don't even remember where I got it from.
Did they forget to put sauce on
it? No. It was – so I didn't realize until I looked at the menu – later, and all the other ones said sauce, but I just go past the sauce part. I just assume there would be sauce on it because it's a damn pizza. It should say no sauce in all caps. Yeah, it's like
just cheese and sauce.
They're like, oh, you're here. Here you go. They just dump cheese and sauce into your hands.
Some
okay,
things you just assume are going to be on your pizza.
Yeah, I was blown away. There's no sauce on this pie.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I messed up. I'm not really.
No, did you? Did you mess up really? Come on, there's sauce on pizza.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what makes it a pizza. Bread, sauce, cheese. Then you start talking about the other things.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go back to the emailer talking about, oh, hell no. If there's no sauce on my pizza, oh, hell no.
All right, we're going to step aside for a quick break. More wink, more mailbag after this. When you know what I said when I opened up the box and saw no cheese?
Mm. Wow.
That's what I said. Perfect. Wow. So this is from San Francisco. He said, how many sound bites do you have of Nicholas Winkler? Let's count them. So you heard the one with the intro. That was the come on down from your appearance on The Price is Right. Right.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
And then we have numerous from that appearance. Here's the good one.
Extremely lightweight and impact-resistant three-piece spinner set from Vision.
I think this
Air,
is the winner here.
Features a telescopic handle system and combination lock.
Spinner set.
Thank you, Beautiful Amber. So, Samuel, nice set of luggage. What do you set?
$1,050, Drew.
$1,050. Nicholas.
$1,000.
I know.
Yeah, you knew it as soon as it came out of your mouth.
I know. I wanted to go over the $1,050. I blew it.
You had to go. You got to go 10:51, man. You knew Samuel.
But there were still two more people after me. They would have been like 10:52.
That's true. Yeah, you were in a bad spot. But the next time around went something like this.
Nicholas.
801.
801. Actual retail price. Oh, 810. Nicholas.
I broke the microphone there.
Elation right there.
Well, I didn't think I was getting up. That was like the sixth one. I was running out of turns.
You didn't get called early in the program either, right?
I was in the first group that got called down.
Oh, so you were up there losing like
that's
the whole time.
That's why I thought, yeah, I was like, oh man, I'm going to be that guy that gets called up right away and never makes it on stage.
I think my favorite from that episode, though, was Drew Carey's snarky remark after you turned down the first showcase.
Right.
Your wife's not going to like that.
Your wife's not going to like that one.
No, she still mentions it. She'd be like, oh, look at that. It's a trip to Bali.
Yeah, and
then that just gives me the eyes.
And then your actual showcase was this, I believe.
Hit the water anytime you want on your new electric party boat.
Just what you need.
Wow.
Just what you need with a
16-foot sun.
I got a 2-year-old at the time.
Exactly. That was your wow.
Party boat. Wow. That was my anger. Wow. That's really what you're throwing at me.
Yeah, because you wanted the car, right? That was the whole process. You're like,
Our car had just broken down. Yeah.
That's rough.
I was there for the car. I had to pass on those trips, man. It was hard to do.
And you also, not only were you on that game show, not only were you on TV on Action 8 News, but you're also on Wheel of Fortune at some point, right?
In 2000.
Wow, that was a long time ago. And
way back when.
I got to
send
that.
You that video. So you
I need
some clips from that.
I definitely need some audio from that one.
Yeah, they make fun of me. I don't know how to spell. No, I honestly just didn't really know how to play the game. I didn't even like the show at the time. It was great.
You were good in the lineup, and they're like, let's get this guy on TV.
I didn't even want to go to the auditions. My girlfriend at the time was like, just come on, please, please. I'm like, fine, all right. Yeah, got pulled up.
You got pulled up, and she did not?
She did not, no. Mm. No, there's a whole callback process and all this. Yeah, it was crazy.
Is that why you had to break up? Because you were big time at that point?
She was really upset about it, yeah. She still to this day holds a grudge.
And then, of course, the Action 8 News.
Action News 8 Sports with Nick Winkler.
Can't believe it. It's almost here.
That was a lot of fun.
So I got that's at least, what, 8 or 9?
We got to get some fresh ones in there.
Yeah, we need more. So I need that. I definitely need that Wheel of Fortune audio.
Yeah, and I'll talk to my mom. I'll see if we can send you some home videos from when I was a kid. I sang the national anthem when I was like 9 at my Little League.
What? At Candlestick Park?
It was horrible. It was so bad.
At the game? At your own game?
At closing ceremonies for the whole league.
What?
Yeah. I was 9 years old.
What
I was
are you
like,
talking
I'll
about?
Sing it. Oh, dude, it's a long story.
You
but
shut down
bad.
The entire league with your national anthem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I didn't care. I liked attention, good or bad. I was that kid. Still am.
Oh, man. All right. Let's
enough about me.
Let's talk a little 49ers here.
I like this. Is a good idea.
Okay. Let's go to Kruger on Twitter. This is not even so much of a question, but this is the stat of the day here. Since 2013, every NFC West team has reached the NFC Championship game since 2008. All except the Rams have reached it 2 times. So that's a competitive division. It's been a good division, and it still looks like it's going to be strong for a very long time, and hopefully the 49ers are back in on top and one of those teams again.
Yeah, I mean, this is the league, you know, where you can go last to first pretty quickly, you know, and without the injuries, I think the 49ers are at least challenging this past season. So I think, you know, hopefully the luck goes their way next year, and they're right back in it, man.
Actually, I got another one from Kruger here. Let's keep it going because he's getting two. He's always on point.
Well, the first was just a stat, though. So, yeah, let's give him a question here.
He said, how much do the 49ers need a big running back off the bench for short yardage and goal line? Watching Kansas City, Rams, New Orleans Saints, and even Seattle have running backs that soften up the D for a main guy and then fall forward after a run reminds me of how small the 49ers are at running back and wide receiver during playoffs and cold weather. Size can matter.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think, right now the 49ers are really one-dimensional finesse on the offensive side of the ball. And I know that Kyle Shanahan likes his type and has his types, but I think they got to mix in some other options there. And you got to be able to win in multiple ways, especially like Kruger mentions here, cold weather games late in the season, get that tough yard and get that red zone touchdown. I think it's pretty important. And it's probably a lot of the reason why the 49ers offense hasn't been good in the red zone.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think that once they get down there, it's like teams know, okay, you can just kind of back off. They're not going to pound it. You know, and if they do, it's little guys, and we'll be able to stop that. So, yeah, I think Kruger's got a great point there. I don't see why they wouldn't want to go after a guy like that. I think maybe they had a guy like that in Alfred Morris, you know, because he was kind of that one-step-and-go guy. But, I don't think that that's the answer going forward.
Yeah. From Jordan, do you think A.J. Green would be a better get than Antonio Brown for the Niners via trade due to the draft compensation that would be required to land Brown? Yeah, I mean, if whichever one of those guys is cheaper, then I think that would be the one I would prefer, right?
I feel like he's hurt all the time. Maybe that's me. And maybe it's a fantasy football thing, but I feel like he's always questionable or doubtful or out missing games. So for me, I feel like Antonio Brown's always in there playing and he's in there hard. And yeah, he's going to cost a little bit more, but you get what you pay for.
Brown, I believe, is 1 year older, so that's not a huge difference. They both should have at least a couple of years in the tank that would be a high-level performer.
Right.
It would depend on – I think you would have to rate Brown a little bit higher than Green, but a healthy Green and a healthy Brown would be pretty close just because the 49ers need that size, and they have already a lot of – players that are kind of shaped like Brown, even though none of them are as good as Brown.
Right. No one has the hands. Right. That guy runs such crisp routes and he gets it. You know, he just understands.
It's open, plays big.
Yeah.
I wonder what he'll look like though outside, because I know him and Roethlisberger have been butting heads, but I think he might be one of those situations where he's like, he looks, if he ends up like with a bad quarterback and then he's like, oh man, I kind of miss Ben Roethlisberger being able to just chuck it and, you know, create time in the pocket and hit me deep on all, because you could see that going south very quickly. He's going to get 150 targets every year somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Steelers aren't going to want to trade him within their division. That's for sure. Definitely not in their conference. Like, and why would they trade him to a good team? Like, why would you, you know, especially if another team can offer the same thing? They'd be like, all right, yeah, well, you know, we'll send you to a team that is garbage. You know, like, oh, you want to go to the Cardinals? Sure. Of course you don't, but here you go. You want to go to the 49ers? Well, that's the last place we're going to send.
Right. That's the thing I'm thinking is like and there's the whole Jerry Rice connection now. Jerry Rice says that Antonio Brown told him he wants to be a 49er. But like if you're mad at Antonio Brown and you get pretty similar return wherever you send him, do you want to send him to the place he wants to go? Probably not.
No, definitely not. You're like, screw this guy. You saw what they did with Le'Veon Bell, man. They're not going to do him any favors. So the Niners may have to come, you know, pretty hard after him.
That's very true. They're in the NFC, and they're not in their division. You know,
which
that
is
helps.
Good.
I think that helps a little bit, but otherwise.
And they weren't very good this year, too, which also might help because they don't want to send them to, you know, oh, yeah, you want to go somewhere else and we'll meet you in the Super Bowl? No.
All right, we're rolling on this Winky Wednesday mailbag. We'll keep it going after a short break. Let's go to Sean. He's got one. He says, Merry Winky Wednesday. Thank you very much, Sean.
I like that.
In the style of Mary Blank Kill, name one player you want to draft, one player you want to trade, and one you would cut.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. Well, the draft one's pretty easy for me. It's Bosa.
Yeah.
I want him on my team. Do I want to marry?
Mary would be...
who do I want to bring on?
Mary would be the draft. Trade, I guess trade could be the... Oh, no. Trade is trade away. Who do you want to trade away?
Oh, that's a good question. That's actually kind of tough. Jimmy Ward, is he worth anything still? I don't know.
No, well, he's a free agent.
Yeah. I mean, if you could get something for Matt Breida, just because he is another one of those guys that I honestly don't think there was a single game this year that he didn't limp off the field and miss time.
Yeah.
So no, if you could get something for him, like, yeah, why not? You know, he appears to be brittle.
And I fully believe
somebody that I want to cut.
Yeah, and who would you cut? You have to cut one guy from the 49ers roster.
Cut one guy from the 49ers roster. Ooh, that's a tricky one. This is kind of brutal just based on the penalties alone. And I know he started to come on a little bit towards, you know, he had a pretty good season, but it'd probably be Laken Tomlinson.
I knew you were going to go there with that one.
You knew it. I mean, it seems like you were here at 75 all year long, man. And not in a good way.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, the player you would draft, definitely Bosa. That's just the perfect Mead needs value at the top of the draft there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say trade. I guess this is probably trade for, not trade away. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah. But I like that Laken Tomlinson. I know you're really annoyed about the penalties.
So many penalties. trade four is Antonio Brown. Come on.
Trade four for me would be Jalen Ramsey probably.
Uh-huh.
Just the positional value there. But, man, that would be fun to have an all-pro wide receiver.
Sure would be. It's been a long time.
Who would I want to cut?
Tricky.
I would probably say cut C.J. Beathard because it's just so frustrating, whole draft pick. And it's like, what were you thinking?
Right.
It's just one of those picks. This is a head scratcher from the start. It's like, he's not a third-round quarterback.
And if one of those was re-signed, like who would be my top guy to re-sign? It's Robbie Gould.
Same here. 49ers,
see how important it is.
49ers don't have a lot of big name free agents that are out there, so that makes it easy. But
that's true. You gotta get Buckner that big deal contract though, right? One more year.
Buckner, they might sign him this offseason. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, they got the money right now.
Go for it. Sign him. The earlier you sign anybody, the better it's going to look because the money just keeps going up.
Yeah,
although
you're right.
It would have been better to do last offseason before the Aaron Donald and the Khalil Mack deals.
We transferred over like $60 million.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's go to Facebook. Chris has one. He said, what's up, Brian? Had a quick question. What are your thoughts on a trade down selecting Farrell? Also, the other day on the pod, you said you didn't know where ODU was, Old Dominion University. It's my home state of Virginia. Awesome job on the pod. Yeah, thank you. I got a bunch of people that let me know where Old Dominion was. And so now I know it's in the state of Virginia.
And Brian, there's this thing called Google. You just Google it.
I was on the air and I was like, you know what? I honestly don't really even care that much for Old Dominion. I'll find out later.
Truth comes out.
not to bash Old Dominion. I'm sure it's a fine place of higher learning and the state of Virginia. I know some people from Virginia, so got no problems there. But at the time I was just like, you know what? It's not even worth looking up because someone's going to tell me where it is. And actually it's interesting because they had a pretty good football team this year and a couple of good prospects that are in the Senior Bowl, but they're more of a basketball school from what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Old Dominion for sure. I feel like I've seen them in the tourney a few times.
Yeah. That Cinderella team.
Mm-hmm.
And trading down and selecting Farrell, I think, that's probably option number three. And whether it's Farrell or Brian Burns or Josh Allen or Ja'Kai Polite, whoever it is that you're trading down, create that value for yourself. Create a spot where need meets value and you draft that edge rusher later, trading down from pick two. So Bosa or trade down would be the two options. And then I think there's a big gap between the next few options. And we've talked a lot about if the 49ers are stuck at two, you got to take the best player, and unfortunately, it's another interior defensive lineman. And so, ideally, you would trade out of there to make that not be your scenario.
To not be another interior lineman.
Yeah, and you don't want to have
to make everyone groan.
You don't want to reach for a player who's not as good. Yeah. You know, you're picking second.
You're right.
Pick one of the two best players, man. It's easy.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've got a whole bunch more here. Let's go to an email from Jeff. He said, "Thanks for continuing the great podcast during the off season. It's needed for junkies like me." You're very welcome, Jeff. Thanks for listening. What are your thoughts on potentially signing Anthony Barr as an edge rusher? He was an elite edge rusher in college, 23 sacks in two seasons on the defense where he played some running back as well for UCLA. He only played inside linebacker in Minnesota, but I don't believe that takes advantage of his ability. Plus, inside linebackers usually don't cost nearly as much. What do you think? Anthony Barr, do you like that name, Nick?
I mean, it's another both ways guy, right? We're into those these days.
Yeah, put him in a running back. There's your big running back. There's Kruger's big running back, and then there's our linebacker as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's, you know, with the way the health went in the running back field this year, man, he'd be great. He'd be like, oh, yeah, he could jump in there right now, you know, middle of a game.
Yeah, it's funny because I have compared Josh Allen, who a lot of people want to draft at number two, to Anthony Barr. Athletically, what they did in college, putting up stats like you mentioned here, 23 sacks in two seasons at UCLA. And then he was drafted by a team that runs a 4-3, and he's been playing off-ball linebacker. He's been playing not inside linebacker, but he's been playing an outside linebacker, sort of like a strong side outside traditional linebacker, not like the 49ers outside linebacker on the strong side. And so he hasn't and his Pro Football Focus pass rush grades have been good. He just hasn't really been used that much. So I think he'd be a perfect fit at Sam linebacker for the 49ers on early downs and then use that athleticism off the edge to get after the quarterback and see if you have something there. And I love the idea from Jeff here because linebackers traditionally cost way less than some of the edge guys. So he might cost a ton less than some of the edge players, but give you that edge ability. And he would be a no doubt perfect fit as a Sam linebacker too, and have a little bit more potential that was untapped in Minnesota. So I love the idea of Anthony Barr for the 49ers. Absolutely.
Jeff, make sure you send that over to Lynch. Make sure Lynch gets a hold of that question too, so that it's in his head.
Yeah. You didn't at John Lynch on that.
No, next time.
Let's go to Kenneth. What do you think of a trade? Eric Armstead to the Falcons for linebacker / defensive end Vic Beasley, both in their fifth year option year, and it requires Vic to make a new contract with the 49ers.
I like it.
That's not bad. That's not a bad trade idea. You know, trade your needs. Vic has been disappointing for what he is, but a nice fit. Obviously, same scheme and everything for the 49ers. Right. By the way, speaking of the Falcons, did you see the news about Tack McKinley today?
I've never even heard that name.
Tack McKinley, he's their pass rusher that they drafted in the first round 2 years ago. And he, from UCLA, so he was back in Los Angeles. He was not arrested, but he was in custody of the police for like a mental instability issue. No crime committed, not under arrest, but he's basically getting committed, or it's what it sounded like. Like, I don't know what's going on there. Some sort of a mental health issue. So,
I hope he just takes time and gets right, man. Yeah. Cause that's scary stuff.
And speaking of the Vikings, was it Everson Griffin that had the same thing going on? He missed a few games this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's crazy, man.
It is.
It's a good thing he wasn't like committing crimes or anything, but it's like, you got to get your head right. That's scary business.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
And it makes you wonder what he was doing if the police are picking him up and you're like practically throwing a straitjacket on you. Like, was it like a suicide watch? What's going on there? Because there's no details of what he was doing.
A loved one.
Right.
Yeah. Scary, man.
Let's see here. Let's go to Shane O'Mac. He says, Larry Fitzgerald, he said he might be done with the Cardinals. Would he be a fit for Kyle for a year or two?
Nah, he's not going to go anywhere else.
And he's referencing, I think it was TMZ or something. It was one of those where they find him at the airport and they asked him and he's like, yeah, I'm pretty much done with the Cardinals or something. But I mean, if he goes somewhere, I know Kyle Shanahan has raved about Larry Fitzgerald, talking about like he was his favorite player or something like that. So I could see Kyle loving him and I could see John Lynch loving him.
Yeah.
Maybe short-term wide receiver. I don't know. It'd be hard to see him play anywhere else. I just can't wrap my mind around that. But if they're done with him and he's done with Arizona and he still wants to play, he's got to play somewhere.
I mean, come on. We saw Jerry Rice, Joe Montana in other uniforms. Like, it happens. You know, you'll get used to it. And I would love to have that big-bodied wide receiver on our football team. Like, you know me, man. I was an Anquan Boldin guy. Like, I love that big physicality. I love that type of wide receiver. And if there's a chance you can bring Larry Fitzgerald on your football team, you take that chance.
You don't want the receding hairline Seahawks Jerry Rice, though.
No, that's true.
You don't want that. You don't want that on your team. Jerry Rice doesn't want that look out there, and it was put out there, unfortunately.
He wants that forgotten. Yeah.
And that's what people remember, too. That's the other thing.
But he played well in Oakland, though.
No, he did. And he played he played crazy good for – and maybe stuck on a little bit too long there.
Yeah.
But
– I don't think Larry Fitzgerald's at that point, though.
No, I don't think he's quite there. He doesn't have the hairline either with the weird cornrows that go halfway back his head. Like that whole – it was like, man – I really wish Jerry didn't have that.
Thanks for bringing that back up. Most of us had forgotten it or blocked it out of our memories.
I mean, Larry's a baller, and he could probably be 50 and still get open and make catches, right?
Right. Get those first downs or even just be a red zone threat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Can you imagine him and Kittle running crossing routes across the middle of the field?
I like it. You're selling me on this. You're selling me on this Larry Fitzgerald idea.
Who are you going to cover? Come on. You got Antonio Brown on the outside going deep. Pettis on the other side. Goodwin Nixon in. McKinnon out of the backfield.
That was the ding ding for Larry Fitzgerald. I think we're on board.
All right. I think we're on board.
All right. I think we better do it. We're running out of time here.
Sounds good, bud.
All right. Nick, thanks as always for joining the show.
My pleasure.
Thanks everybody for listening. Be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.